ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे प्रतिष्ठा तदप्येष श्लोको भवति. सो द सेवेंथ अनुवाका एंड वेर इन द आंसर फॉर द फर्स्ट क्वेश्चन. होप यू रिमेंबर ऑल द थ्री क्वेश्चंस. व्हाट हैपन्स टू द वाइज पर्सन आफ्टर डेथ, वेदर ही गोज बैक टू ब्रह्मन or not, what happens to ignorant person after death, does he resolve in Brahman or not, then what is there Brahman at all? These are the three questions. I hope you didn't forget this. And the is there Brahman at all is the question, implied question, not revealed explicitly, but the Upanishad gives answer for that implied question first, wherein the Upanishad present states there is Brahman. Brahman is very much there, and for which Upanishad presents seven reasons for establishing the existence of Brahman. We have seen that. So Brahman is the Nimitta Karanam of the universe, intelligent cause of the universe. Therefore Brahman alone is in the form of Jiva. Therefore, Brahman is the upadana karanam of jagat. Therefore, Brahman is, and Brahman as Ishvara with the Brahman is creative power, Maya Shakti. As the Lord is the both material and the efficient cause of the universe. Therefore, Brahman alone is in the form of the universe. The Brahman is the self creator. Brahman as Ishvara is very well known as Sukritam. It means self-creator, therefore Brahman is, which is an explanation of the Rig Mantra. The fifth reason given was, Brahman is the source of happiness of a wise person, the fullness of wise person, and Brahman is the source of any pleasure of an ignorant person, enjoyed, experienced by an ignorant person also. Then Brahman is the very source of life. Life which is manifest in all the living beings. Sixth reason. The seventh reason given was, Brahman is the source of fear and fearlessness, which we are seeing last point. And we saw, how does Brahman become the source of fear, and how does Brahman become the source of fearlessness also. Brahman ununderstood becomes source of fear. Brahman understood becomes source of fearlessness. How? Because Brahman not understood means Brahman, the reality of the universe, being available for recognition one's own self, and the Brahman being the truth of every individual, every being, everyone also. One's own self happens to be Brahman. In the wake of knowledge of one's own self being Brahman, one understands the non-duality of reality being absolutely real. Therefore, there's a second thing other than Brahman, second reality other than Brahman. Therefore, there's nothing which can cause fear there. Therefore, in non-duality alone, there is absolute security. The vision of non-duality of the reality alone, when you do not see a second thing alone, there is no insecurity. There is absolute security. There is fearlessness. There is freedom from anxiety, all other impurities. But in the other ways, in the wake of in ignorance, one can't help isolating oneself from Ishvara, the whole, the Brahman. Once any distance, any difference will result in, any difference In ignorance, one becomes isolated from the total, and once there is a difference, division, the division, wherever there is division, there is duality, and wherever there is duality, there is insecurity. The time and space come in between. Once time and space come in between, there will be fear and insecurity. Once time comes, there will be death. And when the death comes, mortality, and when mortality is there, there will be anxiety and a fear of death. How fear comes, okay? How fear walks in, look at this. Fear is possible only when there is, isn't it, mortality. Only when there is death. Death comes in the picture only when you talk about the birth also. And birth and death will be there once the time comes in the picture. Time comes, the space comes when there is division. Division comes when there is duality and plurality. The duality and plurality are possible only in the way, only in ignorance. Have you got it now? In ajnanam there is division. In ignorance there is duality. In duality there is division. In division there is time and space. When time and space comes, there is mortality, birth, death. Then mortality comes, then there is fear. Okay? Therefore, what did Upanishad say? Udaram antaram kurute. Even a slightest of the distance, even a light little of difference, one makes, one thinks, I'm different from Bhagavan, even little of difference will result in fear. Ata tasya bhayam bhavati. Why there is a phenomenon called fear? Fear, you how much are you push the fear away, fear, insecurity, anxiety, this will be there as long as, okay, the notion I am a mortal is. As long as, isn't it, the immortality is. And the notion I am a mortal will be there as long as your identity with the body, mind, sense complex is. And as long as you do not recognize your identity with Paramatma Brahman, you can't help having wrong identity. Therefore, only in jnanam you can resolve the differences and divisions, not physically but cognitively. Okay, on the wake of knowledge of the self, you recognize self being Brahman, thereby you cognitively resolve the differences and divisions, not physically, non-resolvable, then you become free from the fear, which is absolutely emotional, not physical. Okay? Therefore, atha tasya bhayam bhavati. So, that's why ignorance of Brahman, in ignorance you can't help being frightened, in knowledge you are absolutely free from fear. That is why even symbolically we say Bhagavan Dakshinamurti sits facing the southern direction. The southern direction stands for death, kalaha. And Dakshinamurti stands for knowledge. When knowledge sees, in the wake of knowledge, time disappears. Kalaha disappears. In reveling in fullness, desire disappears. Now, desire should push out, okay? Everything goes, everything resolves, all the differences resolve. In the wake of knowledge, desire cannot stand. When Shiva, Lord Shiva opens his eyes, Manmatha, what happened to Manmatha? Became ashes. That means what? Manmatha is desire, isn't it? In knowledge, knowledge and desire cannot coexist. Fullness and desire cannot coexist. Now, if you say fullness and desire can coexist, means it's like asking, whole of England is given to you, and you also ask for one more small desire for a small house in Beckenham. How is it possible? I want whole of England and also one house in Beckenham. Means what? It is wrong. Therefore, desire and fullness cannot coexist. Isn't it? Therefore, desires will resolve, and now, therefore, this full in fullness and also fear also resolves. Only absolute security. Okay, Paramatma is the only source of security. Paramatma Brahman is the only source of fearlessness. But if you simply say, in saying, there's no you, it is of no use. You should say, I am Brahma Asmi, Aham Paramatma. Only then it is useful. Isn't it? Then you are source of security and fearlessness. So with this, the seventh anuvaka ends. All the seven questions become answered. But eighth anuvaka begins with a Rig Mantra, which also restates the same last point, last reason, the seventh reason given by the Taittiriya Upanishad, that how Brahman is the source of fearlessness and source of fear. Unknown is a source of fear. Known, Brahman known, is a source of fearlessness. How? We are taught to last class also. I think I told you last class. When you see the rope, isn't it? The rope unknown is what now? Mistaken snake. Mistaken snake is a source of fear. Similarly, rope known as rope. Rope known is fearlessness. So Brahman unknown is equal to the mistaken universe, is it? The universe, and once you universe is what, if you see the universe, there is fear, anxiety. Then if you see Brahman, there is no fear, isn't it? What is universe? Mistaken Brahman is universe. Ununderstood Brahman is universe. Universe understood properly is Brahman. When you say Brahman understood properly is universe, properly understood is Brahman, means what? Where are you then? You are lost in the universe. This is what is fearlessness. Okay, this is the only source of security, only source of fearlessness. Not Lloyds and what other banks? HSBC and Barclays? No. Brahman is the only source of security. Especially nowadays, people will accept.
Yada he vaisha. Etasmin adrushyenatmye nirukte nilayane bhayam pratishtham vindate. Athaso bhayankato bhavati.
Have you done this? Okay. Now I know. Sorry. So, atha saha abhayam gataha bhavati. Don't worry, I'll repeat it. Atha, then saha abhayam gataha bhavati. One becomes, what now? The accomplisher of utter fearlessness. Okay, accomplisher of utter fearlessness means what? Attainer of utter fearlessness means what? The abhayangataha bhavati means, no, one becomes the accomplisher, attainer of utter fearlessness means one becomes the person of absolute security and fearlessness. When yada, when yappurdo, He indeed, definitely, yeshaha, eva eshaha. Eva means only. Only when this person, this so-called individual, this human being, yetasmin is what now? In this nearest Paramatma is not anywhere in distance, okay? The whole universe is nothing but Paramatma. Time is Paramatma. Space is Paramatma. All the Namarupani, subtle and gross, mobile and immobile, living and non-living, everything that is here is all the elements, everything is Paramatma only. But that Paramatma, you need not go in search of. It is there as the very self, very truth, very content of the I, substance or substantive I. Therefore, the nearest self, the Paramatma who alone is, the Paramatma, Parambrahma reality which alone is there as the universe, is this nearest self, Yetasmin. What now? In this, okay? In this Paramatma. The Paramatma who obtains as one's own self, the nearest self, in the Paramatma. And what is it, Paramatma? There is Paramatma, Parambrahma, all synonyms, okay? Don't take it as something. Adrishye, and Paramatma, the reality is ever, never objectifiable, that which is never an object of knowledge, that which is never available for direct perception or objectification. Isn't it? Therefore, adrishye, oru kalam, never is Paramatma available for objectification or perception as an object of knowledge. Adrishye, anatmye, atmyam means embodied, formed, that which has a form, and anatmye means formless. Here the Atma, the nearest self, the Paramatma, which is the nearest self, which is not an object of knowledge, not available for objectification, not available for perception as an object, and which is of the nature of formlessness also, Anatmye, then Anirupte. Anirupta means what now? Again, inexplicable, indescribable, due to its formlessness and attributelessness, which is inexplicable and indescribable. Okay, anirukte, aniruktam. Then anilayanam, that which is neither the support nor the supported. Okay, what is Paramatma? You cannot talk about Paramatma. No adjective can be used to imply Paramatma. First you say, initially when you start studying Vedanta, we say Paramatma is substratum of the whole universe, support of the universe, etc. To understand. Once you arrive at Paramatma, what is it, Paramatma? The reality, absolute reality, when you arrive at it as one's own self, as a pure consciousness, from the standpoint of consciousness, the Atma, consciousness is not anything. Consciousness is not the support of the world. There is no support other than consciousness for the world. That's a different thing. Only from the standpoint of the universe, you can say support of the universe is consciousness. So only from the standpoint of the ocean, we say, support of the ocean is water. The standpoint of water, you can't say water support of the ocean. You can't say that. Therefore, in the standpoint of Atma, the consciousness which is Parama, only absolute self, the Paramatma, you say what consciousness is not even the support of anything. And consciousness is of the nature of attributelessness. Therefore, it is indescribable, inexplicable. It has no form. It is of the nature of formlessness. It is formless. Also what? And it is, isn't it? It's also what? It is not never available for objectification, perception, never objectifiable as an object. So anatmyaha, we have to say this. Paramatma, Param Brahma is what Paramatma here? Paramatma is, you say, adrishyaha, adrishyaha Paramatma, anatmyaha Paramatma, aniruktaha Paramatma, anilayanaha Paramatma. Okay, not the support. And in such that Paramatma, which is of that nature, in that Paramatma, abhayam pratishtam vindate. One resolves one's identity with that Paramatma, is it? Only when one in one's own Paramatma, which is one's own self, in that real consciousness, which is Paramatma, when one resolves one's identity, the essence in that Paramatma, the pure consciousness, thereby one discovers the absolute security and fearlessness. That's only then one becomes the accomplisher of fearlessness, accomplisher of absolute security. One becomes the person of security and fearlessness. Okay, when? Only when you resolve your I sense. Only when an individual resolves one's I sense in Paramatma, which is the nearest self, which is unobjectifiable, formless, inexplicable, indescribable, which is neither the support nor the supported, that Paramatma, once one resolves identity, only then one becomes free from fear. Okay, what is the lesson here? Unless and until you resolve your identity with the Paramatma, the Ishvara, you resolve your individuality in totality, the Ishvara, cognitively, there's no way of becoming free from fear of death, and there's no way of becoming free from fear, this phenomenon called fear, and there's no way of becoming free from anxiety, there's no way of being self-secure. Therefore, being free from fear, the phenomenon called fear implies being free from fear of death, and being free from fear of death is being absolutely secure, and being fearless is being absolutely secure, and being absolutely secure is being self-secure. I told you this also last class. When the wave thinks it is a wave, and the wave is dependent on the ocean for its security. When the wave recognizes its swarupam being H2O, when the wave knows wave is H2O, then the entire ocean becomes dependent on H2O for its security. Clear now, not a becoming, is. It's all, that is why it is only cognitive, nothing physical. That's what the mantra, this also mantra continues here, before we go there. Atha saha abhayangataha bhavati. Then we saw, yada hi eva yeshaha, yada when yeshaha, this person, yetasmin udaram antaram kurute, when the person makes even little of division in one's self. One's real self is what? Indivisible, partless, whole Paramatma, the consciousness. When a person makes even little of division, means what? When a person, if a person's I, for him the self is consciousness, then he can't make any division in consciousness. For the person, if the self is not the consciousness, then definitely self is what? Body, mind and complex. Then naturally he can't help isolating himself from the whole. If the self is pure consciousness alone, is it distinguished from the body, mind and complex, then for him self-consciousness is, the self is one indivisible, non-dual, secondless, one indivisible, partless whole. If for him if the consciousness is not the self, if he is ignorant of the self, then body, mind and complex becomes a self. Then definitely he isolates himself from the whole, then there is division, and that division definitely will result in fear. I told you earlier also, I already explained to you, isn't it? In ignorance there is division, in division there is the duality. Duality means this time and space, and time comes into the picture, there is a birth, death, changes, therefore there is mortality. When mortality comes in the picture, there will be fear and insecurity, anxiety. Or atha tasya bhayam bhavati. Athatasya atha saha bhayangataha bhavati yadahi eva yeshaha yetasmin ut. I told you last class itself, ut means even, aram little, even little of division, antaram division. I explained this now already. Okay, little of division he makes, kurute he makes, atha tasya bhayam bhavati, then definitely there is fear for him. How many times Upanishad is repeating? Do we have any Shraddha in what Upanishad says? If we have Shraddha, definitely we should make effort. Atha tasya bhayam bhavati. We don't really think about it. We simply listen and go on, then we have to think, pray for this. Atha tasya bhayam bhavati. Now he says, tattu eva bhayam vidushaha amanvanasya. The same Brahman in jnanam, this becomes a source of fearlessness. Why? See, for in non-duality alone there is fearlessness. Okay, advaita drishtau abhayam. Dvaita bhayam. We are going to see the same Upanishad later on. Dvaitadhi bhayam bhavati. Fear is definitely in the perception of duality and plurality. The utter fearlessness is only in the vision of non-duality of the reality. See, it's the human mind, the maximum the human mind is supposed to do, can do, is discovering the truth of its own existence, isn't it? The truth of the whole cosmos, and happens to be the truth of the mind, and that truth happens to be non-dual, secondless. In the vision of the truth being non-dual and secondless alone, then when you say truth is non-dual and secondless, what does it mean? Whatever is other than the truth is not countable, is only mithya, non-substantial name and form. It is very dependent on the very truth for its existence. There is what is, there is only reality. And therefore, that one thing being there, how can one, what can come and cause any fear or harm to this? Isn't it? Therefore, two things must be there for one thing to be frightening, for one thing to get frightened. Isn't it? Therefore, in vision of non-duality, there cannot be fear. in duality, you can't help having fear. Okay, very important lesson. We are all of us are all the time what a very, very insecure. And even though we say we are not insecure, the very expression that we are not insecure, we implies our insecurity and fear. Isn't it? Therefore, you can't help. Therefore, if you want to be secure, see, there is no security in the universe. Nothing in the universe can really give security. The only source of security is Paramatma, Brahma. And Paramatma, Brahma, if you simply say, also still you will be insecure. That Paramatma, Aham Brahma Asmi, I am the Paramatma, only then you become self-secure and a source of security. Is it? That is what he is. Yetasminna udaram antaram kurute atatasya bhayam bhavati. Therefore, there is fear for him. He says, tattu eva bhayam vidushaha amanvanasya. Then the same Brahman, if not known, Brahman becomes known only when the self is known. How? Because Brahman and the self, isn't it? The reality of the universe, Paramatma, being the one's own self, without knowing oneself, there's no way of knowing Paramatma. See, I don't know what I am, but I know definitely what Brahman is. That is not possible, okay? That is never possible. It is impossible for one to have the knowledge of Paramatma without having knowledge of one's own self. In fact, the knowledge of Paramatma is knowledge of the self only. There are too many Atmas. What is? There is only Atma. And that Atma is the absolute self, Paramatma. There is no such thing, okay? And Paramatma is the real nature of every individual here. One who knows one's own self alone knows Paramatma. And one who knows Paramatma is the one who knows the truth, reality being non-secondless, non-dual, indivisible, partless one. Only for such a person, there is no fear. Isn't it? Otherwise, there is fear. So he says, but the Paramatma, not unknown, definitely becomes a source of fear. Bhayam vidusha amanvanasya vidushaha tattu eva bhayam. The same Paramatma, Parambrahma, becomes a source of fear. For whom? For the one who is ignorant. And here, the word, very funny expression, okay? Unconventional meaning is given for the word vidushaha. Look at this. Generally, vidwan means wise person, knowledgeable person. But here, vidushaha is the possessive of vidwan. Vidushaha, for the knowledgeable person, there is fear. That means what? It is some funny expression, okay? Unconventional. Sometimes the person who is ignorant is sarcastically said, oh, he is great, wise person, you know. He said that. He wise, so whatever he says, we have to listen. When you say, what does it mean? You know he is not wise, isn't it? Sometimes we sarcastically use the expression, me, when you see somebody who is not wise, but we say what now? He is very great. That means what? He is not great. Really great. That's different, isn't it? That's way how you say it. Similarly, Upanishad also says sarcastically. No, no. What is that? Vidushaha batattu eva. The same Brahman becomes the source of fear for the so-called wise people. Okay? For highly worldly wise people. He says. That means what? Another word for Vidushaha is the person who is highly learned, highly academically qualified, but still he does not know Brahman. One may have got 4 PhDs and postdoc fellowships from 10 universities, but still if he does not know Brahman, then still he cannot help being insecure and frightened, and definitely there is fear for him. Vidwan, here in this, the Shankara gives 3 meanings here. One meaning is the so-called wise. Okay? Why ignorant person? One meaning of the word Vidwan is what? Ignorant person. Another meaning of the word Vidwan is what? The person who is academically highly qualified. Worldly, he has a great knowledge of the world. He is highly informed of the other fields, but he does not know Paramatma. Then definitely for him there is fear. For which, I can give one more example here. In Paramahamsa, he says, I said this, there was one boatman, and this boatman, ordinary person who is not learned and doesn't know anything. And he was, this one scholar went, and he had to cross the river to go that side. And he got into the boat, and he was riding the boat, and this scholarly person, this person who was riding in the boat, and he asked his boatman, have you studied Veda? He said, no, you have wasted quarter of your life. Have you studied Mimamsa, Tarka, Vyakranam? I haven't studied. You have wasted half of your life. Have you studied Mimamsa? No, I haven't studied anything. Your life is waste. No? 3/4 of your life is waste. And suddenly there was a leak in the boat, leaking. And water was getting in. And the boat started sinking. And the boatman asked, Swami, do you know swimming? He said, no. The whole life is waste. He jumped and he ran away. The whole life, he jumped and ran away. Why? Because he's a great scholar. Highly, highly learned person from Banaras University with all his degrees, don't know this. The people who are, the intellectual arrogance is so high, and then that one small, the time, what is the needed, to protect yourself from sinking, when this you are in the water, all that you need is what now? It's knowledge of swimming. So that to cross this ocean, to escape from the ocean of samsara, doesn't matter what you know, what you don't know. All that you need is what? The knowledge of the truth, Paramatma. Therefore, without that knowledge, isn't it? That's why he says, the person who is highly learned, academically qualified, but one who does not know Brahman, if he doesn't study Vedanta, he does not know Brahman, then he also, for him also what now? Brahman becomes source of fear. The third meaning for the word Vidushaha is what now? He gives Amanvanaha. Vidushaha Amanvanasya. Amanvanaha means the person who has studied Vedanta. Look at this. The person who has studied Vedanta, who has done Shravanam, who has understood, but still who has not reflected on what he has understood, one who is not contemplative upon what he has understood, and such a person also, still Paramatma is as good as ununderstood only. So Shravanam is a must. Shravanam must be continued, followed by Mananam, and Mananam should be followed by Nididhyasanam. Only then, what now? Aham Brahma Asmi knowledge is possible. Aham Brahma Asmi, this knowledge is not possible, then what will happen? Then there is fear. Oh Brahma, Brahma, Brahma. Means what? In the wake of knowledge, you resolve all the differences, then you are the source of security and fearlessness. So here, the same Brahman, unknown, becomes a source of fear. That is said in Vidushaha Amanvanasya. For the one who is not contemplative and thought, one who is not doing mananam, one who is reflecting, not reflecting on what he has understood, even after studying Vedanta, for him also, Brahman is what now? Still ununderstood. Brahman is not the self for him, isn't it? For him, Brahman becomes a source of fear. And this Brahman being this only source of fearlessness is again further revealed by the following Rig Mantra. Tadapyesha Shloko Bhavati. So Yeshaha Shlokaha Bhavati. Here again is a mantra regarding the teaching that Brahman is the only source of fearlessness. Knowledge of Brahman is the only source of fearlessness. Is it clear? We'll see that mantra ends with the iti. Bhishasmadvatav pavate. Bhishasmad. Bhishasmad. Vatav pavate. Bhishodeti. Suryaha. Bhishasmat. Agneschendrascha. Mrityurdhavati. Panchama iti. See here, Upanishad quotes a Rig Mantra, which again restates the fact that Brahman is the only source of fearlessness. And to state that fact, this Rig Mantra presents, says, Brahman, is it? Division in any form will result in fear. The perception of duality in any form will result in fear. How does he say? For that, even the devatas, all natural phenomena, every natural power in Shastram, in our Shastram, is looked upon as devata. The Samashti Shakti, isn't it? Any power, any total power, and then the phenomenon, natural phenomenon, is looked upon as devata. See, for any scientist, any phenomenon is only a bundle of energy for him. It is an inert bundle of energy. Whereas in our Shastram, we never look at anything as mere bundle of energy. For us, inanimate, inert, inanimate also is what? Devata. For in everything there is consciousness. In a living being also there is consciousness. In a non-living thing also there is consciousness. Because living thing also is inert form. The non-living thing also is inert form. Only difference is, in a living thing, in an animate being, there is life is, isn't it? Consciousness is manifest as the life. In non-living thing, consciousness is not manifest as life. For the consciousness to manifest as life, it needs a manifesting appropriate medium. In a non-living things, there is no such a thing called a sukshma. Therefore, it cannot manifest as life. Wherever consciousness is manifest, and there is life. And wherever consciousness remains as consciousness, without being manifest, there is no life. That's the only difference. Therefore, consciousness, the source of life, being the only reality, all pervasive, we look at everything, nothing is looked upon as an inert bundle of energy. The source of everything being pure consciousness, the source of life, everything is looked upon as devata. Everything here is devata. Vana devata, vriksha devata, no, samudra devata, Vayu Devata, Agni Devata, Vishya Parvata Devata, everything is Devata. Every phenomenon is Devata only for us. Therefore here, and here Upanishad mentions a few, the five. He says, Bhishasmad Vatav Pavate, Bhishasmad Vatav Pavate. Vataha, Vataha means air, element. Vayuhu. Pavate means blows. The wind blows. The wind is blowing. Do we ever consider the blowing of the wind as a function? Do you ever see that? Upanishad sees that. How when a living being flies, a butterfly is flying, you say butterfly is flying, because it is an expression of life. When the wind is blowing also, you know, it is also function, and that function is within the realm of an order. That order is backed by knowledge, and that knowledge is what now? Actually, manifestation of reality, Paramatma only. You cannot see the knowledge through physical eyes, but you can understand the knowledge being manifest. There is knowledge backing the order involved in the function of everything. In a living being, it is easy for it to appreciate the manifestation of knowledge, isn't it? In the plant, in an ant, in an elephant, in all the living beings, you understand the knowledge being manifest. Consciousness is manifest as the knowledge backing the order involved in all the functions. Because without being taught by us, all those living beings live their lives. Means, isn't it? That means every living creature is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. This I've been telling in every class. Our Pooja Swamiji has made it so clear. Ishvara is manifest as the universal natural law and order. It is so beautiful thing. We have to see that. There's no knowledge, it never becomes complete. We have to appreciate Paramatma being manifest as universal natural law and order. So, that's a beautiful thing to know. We understand that. And that is why order is involved in your own physical, human physical form is as good as any other physical form. Leave your mind extra. You have extra. That is why you are big. Walk straight also. Isn't it? Otherwise, you are walking like this. You are straight, isn't it? You don't crawl, isn't it? So here, and all the living beings, there's no difference. And all of them function without your question, without being instructed by you. The whole body functions without your instructions. You can only spoil it by overeating or not eating. Otherwise, but everything is happening means it's all order involved, isn't it? There's knowledge. That knowledge backing the order involved in all the functions is what? Manifest knowledge. That manifest knowledge is what now? Nothing but pure knowledge, which is consciousness, reality. In the same way, in non-living things also function. How do we know air is functioning? Blowing is the function. Okay? When it comes in, when you're walking, you are pushed means all the leaves move from one tree to another tree means what? Now all the leaves are falling. And they go all over. Why? It's a proof for the function of blowing being there. So, and that function is happening because of the presence of consciousness. You are not able to connect. What is the connection? Consciousness is, therefore wind is blowing. You can't understand, see that, isn't it? Because you should know consciousness is the only source of knowledge. And the consciousness has to become manifest, then it is what? Manifest knowledge. And you can see the knowledge, consciousness being available for understanding as the manifest knowledge in living beings. In non-living things also, the same consciousness, even though it's not available, consciousness being manifest as knowledge is not available for understanding. You are not able to understand. It is not possible for us to comprehend the subtlest fact that consciousness is backing the order involved in the function, isn't it, even of the non-living things. Because there is an order involved. Okay, that means the niyanta, Bhagavan has been niyanta, niyantru. Niyanta means the one who controls the entire order. Isn't it? The wind blows. Therefore we say, because of whose presence alone all the phenomena function. Bhisha-smadvata-pavate. Bhihi means fear. Bhisha, out of fear. Due to the fear of Paramatma alone. Instead of being controlled by Paramatma alone, because of the presence of Paramatma alone, even the devatas like wind do their functions properly without being instructed. Okay? And whenever that order is disturbed also, the order works in such a way that it comes back to the proper order. Every time the order's functioning in order to bring the disorder back to order is what now? Our disturbances. Okay? When we get disturbed, any calamity, anything happens, all what? Is all disorder being brought back to proper order. Anyway, Bhisha Asmat, Asmat Paramatmanaha, okay? From this Paramatma, being frightened alone, because of fear alone, fear of Paramatma alone, this Vayuhu Pavate, wind blows, wind is blowing. Bhisha Asmadvatav Pavate, Bhisho Deti Suryaha, Bhisha. Bhisha, the third case, Bayatinal, Bhihi fear, and Bhis, okay, Sakaranta. Bhihi fear, Bhisha, because of the fear, out of fear of Paramatma alone, what now? Suryaha Udeti, sun is functioning. Sun rises means, you should not take it literally, there is something called, isn't it? The sun is all the time bright and brilliant. Sun remaining bright and brilliant, lending heat and brilliance itself is what? Function on the part of the sun. That is the way sun is, the being, the sun is itself is what? Because of the Paramatma only. Isn't it? The power because of which alone sun is the sun. That's called Devata. The Suryaha, not just what you see, the Devata is imperceptible. How the Golakam is perceptible, the seeing power is imperceptible. Isn't it? The Golakam, the eyeball, etc., the physical part is perceptible, but the seeing power is imperceptible, subtle. Is it clear now? Indriyam. Similarly, your eardrum, the ear, etc., you can go and take the thing, isn't it? But still, you can scan. But the hearing power cannot be scanned. Know that? The hearing power is what? Shakti. Indriyam. The same way, you can see the sun, but the power behind the sun is what? Devata. Which is not perceptible. Okay, your own seeing power, your own hearing power, your own power of smelling, your own power of taste, your own power of touch. Is it? You can understand your subtle powers being there. You cannot perceive those objectified, isn't it? You cannot external, you cannot perceive those powers through physical sense organs. Similarly, power behind the sun is called what? Surya Devata. That power is what? Nothing but manifestation of power of consciousness only. Therefore, what we say now, Suryaha Udeti. Because sun rises because of fear of Atma, Paramatma only. Because one of being maintained by the Paramatma in the form of knowledge, the order being maintained by Paramatma in the form of knowledge alone, all these phenomena function. Sun, okay, that is why there is what now? Everything is possible now. If the food is possible, or everything is, even the, without heat, nothing is possible, isn't it? Therefore, Suryaha Udeti. You can visualize what are all the advantages of having sun. That's all possible because that's all functions of sun only. You have to think about it. Bhishodeti Suryaha Bhishadagnischendrascha. Also Agnihi. Agnihi, the fire principle also. What now? The fire is fire, and fire does whatever it is doing, it is backed by the subtle power, which is the manifestation of the power of consciousness only. Therefore, what now? Agni Devata. What you see through physical eyes is Agnihi, but what you do not see behind the fire is what? Devata. Is it clear? Individually when you say Indriyam, totally when you say Devata. Okay, Agnihi Indraha. Indraha is a Devata associated with, formation of clouds and condensation, evaporation, formation of clouds, rains, etc., Varuna, all of them are together indicated by one thing called, one name, Indra. Okay, so Indra Devata, you are the power behind all these functions. Evaporation, the function of evaporation, function of condensation, the rains, all of them we had to what now? The power is, all these functions are backed by the power which is called Indra Devata. When it pours rain, we call what now? Varuna. Devata. If the power behind, see the perceptible functions and the imperceptible power behind the functions. And that power is what? Manifestation of power of consciousness only. Is it clear? Therefore, nothing is inert here. If you see, this is also inert. This is also inert. Everything is inert, really speaking. But what is behind every inert thing is what? Consciousness. Therefore, Bhishodeti Bhishasmadagnischendrascha Mrityurdhavati Panchama Iti. Now, next, the Panchamaha, the fifth one. Panchamaha means fifth. The fifth one mentioned here is what? Mrityuhu. Mrityuhu means what now? Lord Yama. Lord Yama means who? Lord Yama. Lord Yama means only we think of death. Lord Yamaha here means, Yamaha itself means what? Yamaha itself means controller. Really, Yamaha means controller. And the time factor is the controller. Why? Because the one who, Yamaha said to be controller. Time factor said to be Yamaha the controller. Why? Because in time everything happens. Birth, when does the birth happen? There's a time. When does the death happen? Time. When pain comes, pleasure comes, you know, everything happens in time. Changes happen in time. Not only pain and pleasure. There's a time. There's a time all the plants were so beautiful looking with all flowers. And there's a time all the leaves started falling. And there'll be a time they'll all look like old grannies. And then there's a time they'll start sprouting. Isn't it? In time, time is a factor which constantly bringing about changes. Change after change after change after change is brought about. One thing continues to be there is what? Time. Okay? Therefore, time is, the time factor is said to be, the death is something nobody likes. Therefore, we always connect what now? Yama. Isn't it? That not only death, after death, immediately next birth also is fixed. By whom? Time. Don't go now from this house and come back to another house, new house, tiny little house. Okay? And then you can build into a big, huge house also. Isn't it? Like that we are sent and we are always blessed with the new house. You are chased out of the old house, driven out of the old house, again blessed with the new house. Isn't it? What is that? It's all because of time factor. The time factor is controlling everything, but the controller of the controller is Paramatma. The way Bhagavan is said to be Kala Kala Ishwaraha. Kala Kala Ishwara. The time of the time. Okay, time is the devourer of everything, and Paramatma is the devourer of the very time. It seems time boasts. I think I told you earlier also this. Remember all this I told you. Time comes and tells, oh ha 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 ha. Time Raksha comes, you know. I am the devourer of the whole universe. Aham Jagat Bhakshakaha. And Bhagavan comes and says, come on. Aham. Now Kalaha says, Aham Jagat Bhakshakaha. Bhagavan says, Aham Kalasyapi Bhakshakaha. I am the devourer of the time. In Tamil we say, Kalam Soluda, Nan Ulahaye Mulingin. Bhagavan comes and says, Ah Nan Unnai Mulingi. That means what? I devour you, O time. Don't boast yourself. That means what? So, Kalam Ulaham Te Mulingi, Bhagavan Kalatye Mulingi. That's why we say, Bhagavan Kalakaleshwara. There's a temple called Kalakaleshwara. Remember, I took you to the temple. No, Coimbatore, we have a temple called Kalakaleshwara. So, Shivan, we have a temple there, Kalakaleshwara. Devourer of the devourer. Devourer of everything is time, and Paramatma is the devourer of the time. Why? Because in consciousness there is no time. Isn't it? Consciousness is free from time, but time has no existence outside of consciousness. And but the time, that is where we can say, it's all what now? Everything has to be maintained. Isn't it? They're all these devatas are people of, all these devatas are what now? People working for Bhagavan's law enforcement department. Isn't it? It's like, there's a, you can't, Bhagavan, no? There's a big thing and maintain. All the devatas are there. Mrityurdha, and that Mrityuhu, control of everything also, the time itself runs, doing its job all the time, tirelessly. Time has to see, you know, this person has to sleep, this person has to get up. No, all the time is so quickly. Time has a subtle factor. You can't even imagine. The time keeps on functioning, isn't it? What a mrityuhu dhavati. Seeing the mrityu, we all run away. We are frightened. But mrityu dhavati, mrityu runs out of fear seeing Paramatma. That means what? Time also is under the control of Ishvara, the law and order. That means time factor has no exist. Time also is relative. The only absolute is consciousness. Time is relative, space is relative, all the devatas which exist in time and space, they're all relative. All the mighty powers, isn't it? Every mighty power is a devata, is what now? It's all within the realm of time and space, and all of them are what now? In the realm of law and order, and that order itself is a manifestation of knowledge which is Ishvara. Paramatma. Even as devatas, even as a devata, you see, duality is there. You have to resolve all these total powers also in Paramatma. This is another way of seeing it, isn't it? Not only the individual powers, every total power also is what now? All the difference will be, even at the level of devatas, there will be fear. Is it clear now? The fear has to be understood differently. There is no independent existence. That means, see, what Upanishad wants to convey here is, in ignorance of the self, there is ignorance of the non-duality of the truth. A truth being non-dual and secondless. Therefore, in ignorance, there will be duality. And duality, there will be division. In division, once the division comes, the time and space, and when time comes into the picture, there will be mortality. Once mortality is there, there will be mortality implies all the changes. Then there will be insecurity and there will be fear. So what is conveyed here? Paramatma unknown is the source of Paramatma known is the source of fearlessness. All the total powers also become resolved. See, we are too gross. We are not subtle enough, sensitive enough, sharp enough to appreciate the devata levels, powers being manifest as total levels. Isn't it? Even those divisions all will resolve in, if you know, if you claim yourself being Paramatma. Is it clear? Mrityuhu dhavati. Dhavati means runs, okay? Out of fear alone, that means all the devatas function under the control of consciousness. Consciousness is not the controller, but there is no controller other than the consciousness. Because consciousness is the consciousness being the source of knowledge. Knowledge manifest alone backs up the order, and within the realm of the order alone, all the functions are happening. All these, the so-called, the phenomena, all the phenomena also function. Okay, this day onwards, start seeing the whole prapancha as nothing is inert. Everything is inert, but nothing is, but all the inert, entire jada prapanchaha is backed by the consciousness, the only conscious principle. Is it clear? We always, big division, it is difficult for us to see, take this and this are one and the same. Very difficult. Okay, so with this, the seven reasons for establishing the existence of Brahman, presented by the Upanishad, including the Rig Mantra quotation, okay, is over. Is it finished? Now we have to start completely a new topic. So go for a break and come back.
Bhishasmadvatav pavate. Bhisho deti suryah. Bhishasmadagnischendrascha. Mrityurdhavati panchama iti.
With that iti, the iti indicates the end of Rig Mantra. Bhishasmat, the Rig Mantra begins with the word Bhisha, Asmat, Vat, Asmat means from Paramatma, from Brahman. Okay? Fear of Paramatma, that's the meaning.
What exactly, why do they use the word fear? Why fear?
Now, fear means here being controlled. Fear implies being controlled. Yeah. There's no fear for that. The fear implies, see what it says, in wherever there's division, okay, there's fear. And in even in terms with reference to devatas, every phenomenon is maintained under the order of Ishvara. That's what he says, the control. So Niyanta, Bhagavan is called Niyanta. Anyway, it's only order here, not the fear actually. Anyway, so Mrityuhu, Panchamaha Mrityuhu, Dhavati, even from the time factor also, as Lord Yama, controller of everything, functions, being controlled by what are the manifest power of consciousness alone. Understand? Iti, with the iti, the word iti endru, engira, you know, that indicates the end of Rig Mantra. So with this, the one topic is over. Now the next topic begins. Next, the Saisha onwards. Saisha Nandasya Mima Kamsa Bhavati. From there, the new topic begins. It's called Ananda Mimamsa. The new topic begins. And before we enter into this Ananda Mimamsa, the most interesting and the most important, one of the important topics of this Taittiriya Upanishad. The Taittiriya Upanishad is very well known for many things. It is well known for Panchakosha Prakriya, and it is very well known for this Ananda Mimamsa, a measure of happiness. Understand? But this is, suddenly the topic begins. Now you all should ask me this question. Come on, there are three questions asked by the student. Only one question, which was implied question alone, has been answered now. The two more questions still remain unanswered. Where are the answers? We ask, the Upanishad says, wait. The answer for those two questions, even if you forget, Upanishad will not forget, so I should not forget as well. Therefore, the answer for those two questions will be given later on. Till then you have to wait. Because that means what? There is a reason why you have to wait for those answers. Okay? And before going for the answer for those two questions, and here Upanishad introduces the topic of, discusses the topic of Ananda Mimamsa. Before even going to that topic, in between we have to stop and we have to talk, see our Purapakshis we have to tackle. Okay? Purapakshi means what? Purapakshi means the one who raises objection. Isn't it? why it is brought about by Shankara in his commentary. See, generally, all the Advaitins, of course, Shankara also, definitely, they always condemn this idea that Paramatma can be proved by logic and reasoning. Okay, that means what? Paramatma, Parambrahma, the absolute reality cannot be proved through reasoning and logic. And tarkena matihina apaniya. It is said in Kathopanishad, of course, every Upanishad. It is said. And Shankara condemns this and refutes this and also establishes that Paramatma cannot be proved. Isn't it? Existence of Brahman cannot be proved through logic and reasoning. And for which there is in Brahma Sutras, the very beginning, there is a sutra, Janmadyasya Yataha. The sutra really is an elaborate discussion in Bhashyam, and wherein Shankaracharya refutes, very vehemently he refutes, and then he establishes, that Paramatma cannot be proved through reasoning and logic. And if you see the Nayayikas, Tarkikaha, the logicians, the Nayayikaha, Sankhyas, there are some people of schools, different schools of thought, they are all of the view that Paramatma can be proved through reasoning and logic. So Shankaracharya refutes Nayayikas, thereby he establishes this. That means, here the Nayayikas come. There, earlier, in different contexts, we always refute, we always say, argue, that Paramatma cannot, by existence of Paramatma cannot be proved through reasoning and logic. But now what you have done? You have presented seven reasons for the existence of. Seven reasons have been presented here to establish the existence of Paramatma, Brahman. So having earlier, in different contexts, is said that existence of Paramatma cannot be proved through logic and reasoning. Now how come you used these seven reasons and presented the existence of Paramatma? Isn't it? Therefore, it is illogical. The reasons you have given have no reason, okay? Illogical. Isn't it? For establishing the existence of Brahman. And therefore, Anishir Shankara answers, no, the logic is of two types. Okay, the reasoning is of two types. One is mere reasoning or independent reasoning, which is called Sushka Tarkaha. And this another reasoning, Shruti Matas Tarkaha. Okay, the reasoning which has no support of the Veda should not be accepted. That is, that the reasoning without the support of the Veda cannot be used, isn't it, to prove the existence of Brahman. Cannot prove, in fact. But the reasoning supported by Veda, the reasons, isn't it, supported by Veda, is what? Shruti Mata, Shruti Tarka. The logic, the support of the Veda, serves as what alone can prove the existence of Brahman. independent tarka and tarka supported by Shruti, Veda. And here he also says how the sound, the existence of sound cannot be proved by what now? Except the power of hearing, no other power of hearing, even though others, five other powers also are capable of illumining certain their own corresponding objects, other powers are incapable of proving the existence of sound, except power of hearing. Like power of seeing cannot, is incapable, invalid in terms of proving the existence of the sound. See, power of hearing is incapable of proving the existence of light. Because, why? Because the light does not fall within the range of hearing power. Sound does not fall within the range of the seeing power. That is why it is invalid. In the same way, logic also is useful, isn't it? The reasoning is useful, but reasoning is incapable, tarka is incapable in terms of establishing the existence of or proving the existence of Paramatma. Understand? And here the reasons I presented here are not my independent reasoning and logic, isn't it? All these reasons are based on what? Veda. Isn't it? Vedokta tarkaha. The reasons presented by the very Veda itself. So Vedic, Veda supported reasoning, where supported logic alone can prove the existence of Brahman. Suppose, imagine, if just by reasoning, if we can really prove the existence of Paramatma, the truth, then we don't need a division called religion at all. Then Bhagavan Paramatma also would become one of the subject matters of the science. Maybe physics, metaphysics would have ended up with the page called God. Isn't it? Then what would happen? Like how water is H2O, universally accepted fact. Similarly, God is the Paramatma. Consciousness is the only reality, which is now, and this is the only way you can recognize, etc. Would have become what now? Universally accepted fact. Then God also would have become one of the topics to be studied under the science. Isn't it? But it's not universally accepted. Acceptable, but not accepted. Therefore, that is why we have this is something called special. The Veda Pramanam. We need a Veda. And why Veda Pramanam, etc., even we have human discussions. I don't want to get into that particular topic here. But we'll see later on. There's a place, and he's going to establish the timelessness of Veda. Then I'll talk about it. Is it clear now? So this is something in between. We need to know. And now we're entering into the new topic of Ananda Mimamsa. See, Mimamsa itself means, literally it means desire to measure. And it's a dhatu, also man. Mimamsate means analysis. Analysis of anandaha, fullness, happiness, or enquiry into the nature of anandaha, or exploration of Anandaha. Is what now? It's called Ananda Mimamsa. Mimamsa means analysis. And before we just read the sentence, it's a beautiful, very beautiful paragraph this is. Very nice to read and understand. See, Anandaha is of two types. Let us use the word Anandaha as Anandaha itself. And let us not translate the word Ananda. Okay? Anandaha is of two types. Because if you translate, it will lose its expressiveness. So Anandaha is of two types. We can say Atma Anandaha, Atmanandaha. And the other one is what? Kosha Anandaha. Atma Anandaha or Brahma Anandaha. And what now? Kosha Anandaha. What is the difference here? Isn't it? We need to know the difference before we enter into the analysis of Anandaha. We need to know the difference between the Atma Anandaha and Kosha Anandaha. See, Atma Anandaha means fullness, which is the very nature of one's own self. Every individual's real swarupam is Anandaha. Real nature is Anandaha. That is why Shastram says you are happiness because you are fullness. That is swarupa Anandaha. Atma Anandaha is Swarupa Anandaha. It is like Agnehe Aushnyam. Means what? The heat of the fire is Swarupa Aushnyam. Swarupa Aushnyam is what now? The heat intrinsic property inseparable from the fire. Like that, happiness or fullness is also swarupam, your real nature. Swarupa Anandaha. Whereas, and here, the Kosha Anandaha is reflection of fullness or manifestation of fullness. It's a reflected Anandaha. So, Atma Anandaha is original and Kosha Anandaha is reflection of Anandaha. It's like the original face is, how original face is different and the reflection of your face in the mirror is different. In the same way, the reflection of Anandaha is Kosha Anandaha. And original Anandaha, the Swarupa Anandaha is Atma Anandaha. This is the first difference. Swarupam, isn't it? Non-reflected, original and reflected. Atma Anandaha is original, Kosha Anandaha is reflection or reflected. I mean, not original. Like you can say one more example, like heat in the fire is original heat and heat in the hot water is what? Borrowed heat. Isn't it? The same way here, the face, this is an original face, whereas the face in the mirror is reflected face. So, original and reflected. First difference. The second difference. Kosha, because it is original, it does not it is a swarupam, it does not come and go. Like heat in the fire, heat one day the fire is hot, one day fire is not hot. There's no such thing, isn't it? Fire means it's always ever hot, because heat eats its swarupam. If it does not come and go, therefore it is permanent. Atmanandaha, happiness, the fullness is what? No, is permanent. Nityaha anandaha. Swarupa anandaha, nitya anandaha. Nitya anandaha means eternal. You get it? Very important to understand the difference before we enter into the topic. Then you will enjoy it thoroughly. Then this, now you know very well, this reflected kosha anandaha, being the reflection, it is what now? It is dependent on the reflecting medium. Therefore, whenever reflecting medium is available, there will be reflection. Whenever the medium is not available, there won't be reflection. Therefore, reflected anandaha, or reflection of anandaha, you can also manifest anandaha, is impermanent, time-bound, anityaha. Kosha anandaha, anityaha. We have to come step by step, isn't it? First you say reflected, therefore it's dependent on the reflecting medium, therefore it is time-bound, anityaha. Kosha anandaha, anityaha. Atma anandaha, nityaha. Now, this Atma Anandaha, being original, being eternal, permanent, is what? Non-gradational. They're not, gradations are not there on the part of Atma Anandaha. Gradation free. Gradation free means what now? There's no Taratamya Rahita Anandaha Swarupa Anandaha. Taratamya Rahita means, you know, I'll explain it. It's called in Sanskritam, it's called Niratishaya Anandaha. Niratishaya Anandaha means non-gradational. Gradation free. Niratishaya anandaha. What is niratishaya anandaha? Non-gradational atmanandaha. Isn't it? Whereas this kosha anandaha, what now? Have gradation. It has gradations. Taratamya sahita anandaha, kosha anandaha. Taratamya sahita means what? Satishaya anandaha. Satishaya anandaha. Taratamya sahita anandaha. With gradations is what now? Kosha anandaha. Gradation free, taratamya rahita, niratishaya anandaha, atma anandaha. Do you think it's too many Sanskrit words? I tell you. In Sanskritam, we in English language, we have degrees of comparison. When we say good, better, best. Isn't it? Like big, bigger, biggest. Here also, so when you add something, say now, tara, if you add to an adjective, it becomes a word of comparative degree. If you add tama, it becomes a superlative degree. I'll tell a simple example. Now, sthula, sthulaha, purushaha. I tell you, fat man, sthulaha, purushaha. Now, you have to say, fatter man, sthula, taraha, purushaha. Fattest man, sthula, tamaha, purushaha. Isn't it now? Sthula tamaha, sthula taraha, sthulaha. If you add tara, it becomes comparative. If you add tama, it becomes superlative. Now I can tell you now. Madhura. Say now. Madhura tara, madhura tama. Sweet, sweeter, sweetest. Okay. Now I do something else now. Sundara. Sundara. Sundaram pushpam. Sundara taram pushpam. Sundara tamam pushpam. Beautiful, more beautiful, most beautiful. Add tara. Any take any adjective, add tara, it becomes a comparative. If you add tama, it becomes superlative. So it's called what now? When you talk about the gradations also, tara tamya sahita anandaha means what now? The anandaha which has gradations, it will be tara tamya sahita. More or less. In English you say more or less, isn't it? So taratamya sahita anandaha is called what now? Sa atishaya. Satishaya anandaha is kosha anandaha. Whereas this atma anandaha is what? Niratishaya anandaha. Taratamya rahita anandaha. Why? Because I told you already, when we studied this anandamaya koshaha, is it? Anandamaya koshaha, then we saw the difference. You know? We saw the difference in gradations. Modaha, pramodaha. Remember the words? Priyame vashiraha. Modo dakshina pakshaha, pramoda uttara pakshaha, ananda atma, brahma puccham pratishtha. There we understood anandamaya kosha. When we studied, we learned this, understood this degradations. What are the when you, the sight of something desirable creates pleasure. That's a pleasure. And possession of something desirable is what now? Contributes to greater pleasure, joy. And enjoyment of desirable, what now? Greatest joy. Isn't it? Greatest happiness. Greatest pleasure, not happiness. Greatest pleasure. Great pleasure, greater pleasure, greatest pleasure. Priyaha, modaha, pramodaha. So, praptijam ishta. Is it? Ishtajam sukham. Ishtadarshanajam sukham. Sight of something desirable gives rise to what? Some pleasure. That is great pleasure. And possession of something desirable, darshanajam sukham, then praptijam sukham. I like it. I want what I like, then it is greater pleasure. I enjoy what I like, what I want, then there is anubhavajam sukham. It is the greatest pleasure. Only pleasure, okay? Still fraction only. Like this, we have gradations. Pleasure, joy, happiness. Okay, great pleasure, greater pleasure, greatest pleasure. Like these gradations are there. So koshananda has all gradations. So satishaya anandaha. And atmanandaha niratishayaha anandaha. Okay? How many differences now? Three differences you have learned. Now you go to the fourth difference. So atma anandaha. Atma, I'll just tell that is. Atma anandaha is independent. Atma anandaha being swarupa anandaha, isn't it? It is independent, existent. It's not dependent on anything. Whereas Kosha Anandaha is dependent. Being independent, it is unconditional. And whereas this Kosha Anandaha being dependent, isn't it? For reflected, being reflection, it is dependent on the reflecting medium. Therefore, what now? It is also what? It is conditional. Condition means what now? It is dependent on the conditions of the reflecting medium. Reflecting medium. It's like when your original face is reflected in the mirror, the reflection also, the reflection is a clear reflection or blurred, vague reflection or blurred reflection or unclear reflection, isn't it? It depends upon what. If the mirror is clean and the mirror is steady, then there is a proper reflection, the best reflection. And the mirror is a little dusty, it's okay reflection, isn't it? The mirror is very, very dusty and also shaky, then it is what now? Really useless reflection. Useless means what? You can't see anything, isn't it? There is reflection, it is very bad reflection. Like how there's a gradations in reflections. The gradations in reflections are not due to the original face, it's due to the reflecting medium, the mirror. In the same way, the differences, isn't it? The differences in reflections are due to the difference in the condition of the reflecting medium. Similarly, in keeping with the condition of the reflecting medium, the mind, there is there's difference in gradations of Anandaha, Kosha Anandaha. Is it clear now? This, and for which this Kosha Anandaha, we say, is the an Atmanandaha as a Swarupam, it is being Swarupam, it is always there. And Kosha Anandaha comes and goes, isn't it? Agantuka Anandaha, it is what now? Sthira Anandaha, which I have already told, Nitya Anitya Anandaha, I told you already, but still I want to remind you this again. And this is dependent on the conditions of the mind, isn't it? Therefore, and what are the conditions? Isn't it? Therefore, to have the Kosha Ananda, to have this Ananda, the reflected Ananda, reflection of Anandaha, it is dependent on twofold means. It depends on twofold means. Two means what? Sadhana Dvayam. The twofold means are there to have this. To have the Kosha Ananda, you need twofold sadhanas, twofold means. That means what? See, the condition of the reflecting medium mind is dependent on two means. Therefore, this Kosha Ananda also depends on what now? The mind. Therefore, we said two means. Sadhana Dvaya, Sadhyam. Sadhana Dvaya Sadhyaha Kosha Anandaha. Eka sadhana sadhyaha Atmanandaha. I don't need to tell you what is that eka sadhanam, what is that one means to accomplish that? Jnanam. You need not to do any work for this Ananda. All that you need to know is what? You need to know. knowledge of the self, isn't it? Knowledge of what fullness is the means to accomplish, to gain Atmanandaha. In fact, if I say gaining Atmanandaha, it's a wrong expression. You need not gain it, you have to claim it, isn't it? Knowledge is the only means to claim the Atmanandaha, not to gain, okay? Gain means you have to get it, which is not there with you. To claim what you already have, you need to only know. So, Jnanam is the only sadhanam for claiming the Atmanandaha, being your own Swarupam. Whereas, Koshanandaha, needs sadhana dvayam. Sadhana dvaya sadhyaha. What are the two sadhanams, the two things? Very important, okay? Look at this. Koshanandaha is possible, will be there, only if you maintain your mental serenity or tranquility. Isn't it? If you are mentally tranquil and serene, Koshanandaha is possible. Isn't it? And how can you maintain your mental tranquility or serenity? See, we all have our own specific expectations of things, situations, people around. If everything is to our expectation, then we will be serene and tranquil. Otherwise, we'll be disturbed. And not only we'll be disturbed, we will disturb, our disturbance is so much that helplessly we will disturb others also. As we're disturbed, we will disturb the undisturbed. Therefore, everybody else also is disturbed. And so we're helpless, we're very, very helpless, mad people we are sometimes. We don't know what we're doing, isn't it? We're helpless. Therefore, the tranquility, why? Because the specific expectations. This is how my wife should be. If Indian father, husband means finished, okay? This is how the wife should be. And this is how husband should be. This is how children should be. This is how son should be. This is how the eldest son should be, okay? This is how the young, this is how the youngest daughter should be. And this is how parents should be. This is how mother should be, father should be, grandfather should be, mother-in-law should be, daughter-in-law should be like this only. Okay? Like that. This is how my neighbor should be. My car should be like this. My friend should be like this. And everything should be like this. Climate should be like this. Like this, honey. Okay? Everything should be like this. Okay? Like that. We all have our own expectations with regard to things, people, situations around us. The specific, very specific, is how the food cooked should be. Okay? It should be something different. Everything should be, we have specific. Sushila knows exactly what she is. If it's serious, people mean sometimes people are like that. It's very natural for Indian men and women to be different. Some certain they're trained to some, okay? Like that. They don't know what is washing and cleaning and all that. A woman only should be doing everything. But there are certain expectations. And if things are not to my expectations, then naturally I'll be disturbed. If everything is to my expectation, then what? I am tranquil-minded. If one or two disturbances, I'm little disturbed. Many disturbances, so many things are not to my expectations, I'm so disturbed. Okay, the mental tranquility is dependent on, isn't it, things, whether they're to my expectations or not. Isn't it? Yes. This one, so how to tranquilize my mind? So something or the other will be a problem, or everything will be a problem. Therefore, to keep me tranquil, to maintain my, the tranquility of my mind, all the time I had to, isn't it? Swamiji says, you had to, there's a knobs, okay, different knobs, you had to adjust, okay. Wife knob, husband knob, children knob, son knob, daughter knob, and you know, like the financial problems knobs, isn't it? Money income knob. So all the knobs he had to keep on adjusting. One adjust and the time goes here, all your life goes and here gets disturbed. So different knobs, all the knobs all time turning, adjusting to maintain everything perfectly to my expectation and to be tranquil. Or what? Not Atmananda, Koshananda. Isn't it? It's impossible. It's very, very difficult. And in between what we do, to sometimes we also bring in Bhagavan, little bit of puja, worship and prayer, and some upasana meditation. All those now also one know. If at all some samadhi comes also, in where only Koshananda. Okay, tranquility. By adjusting the external things, maintaining the tranquility is toughest job. And there's another way of keeping yourself in, maintaining your tranquility. Let things be whatever they are. Have proper attitude. Have viveka, isn't it? Then accommodation. By learning to accommodate everything as it is, also, accommodation is possible only if you have proper attitude. Isn't it? You don't need to work outside. It is internal. Isn't it? You have proper attitude, then you can accommodate situations. The proper attitude is possible only if you have viveka. Viveka. Attitude won't be possible if they don't have viveka. What is the proper attitude? When you are not dependent on anything external. People's behavior, people, situations, or things, or anything for your happiness, then you can be accommodative. How can I be accommodative of external things? Without, so you can change, isn't it? But changing everything outside, I can tranquilize my mind. But without changing anything, when you have no say over them, without changing anything also you can be tranquil. How? By accommodating. And accommodating means not out of helplessness. By understanding, by having proper understanding. Out of helplessness you accommodate means you're weak. Not out of helplessness. You accommodate them with understanding. What is the understanding? Nothing it is in the world can make me happy. My happiness is not whether I change the person, I don't change the behavior, other person behaves to my expectation or not. Still my unhappiness is not because of the person's behavior. It may be not tolerable, but still you can put up with the undesirable, intolerable behavior of other person if you are not dependent on the other person for your happiness. Isn't it? That means what? I'm simply saying like this, Ajit, the time, okay, I didn't say anything. Don't think that, Ajit. I didn't mean you. See, you are laughing yourself. I didn't say anything. Isn't by changing my attitude. So attitudinal change will help me to be accommodative. Accommodative in the sense what? Being accommodative means being detached. Being detached means being dispassionate. Being dispassionate means being independent. Being independent means not being dependent on people around, situations around, things around for one's happiness. And being dispassionate means not having proper understanding that what no viveka. What is viveka? Nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. So tattva bodha is so important. Now understand why tattva bodha is needed. Nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. Discriminative knowledge of what is permanent and what is impermanent is there. Then you can be sure that impermanent thing cannot give you permanent happiness, and permanent thing alone can be dependent on for permanent happiness. Therefore, once you can understand, whether you know what is permanent or not, you know everything in the universe is impermanent. Therefore, impermanent universe, impermanent things of the universe also cannot give me permanent happiness. This understanding, vivekaha alone, will result in what now? Maturity. Maturity will bless you with what now? Accommodation. Thereby you have proper attitude towards everything external. Thereby you can maintain your tranquility. Is it clear now? So two things are deep. So the kosha anandaha is sadhana dvaya sadhyaha. It is dependent on two means. With the two means, using these two things, you can maintain your inner tranquility, isn't it? Which is required for koshananda. The reflected anandaha is possible only if you maintain your mental tranquility. The tranquility is possible, what now? Either by changing the external situations or by having proper attitude. Is it clear now? So proper attitude is dependent on your understanding, viveka. And viveka is dependent on your using your buddhi. Okay? Bhagavan has blessed us with our buddhi shakti, intellectual capacity. Use the buddhi, use it nicely, crush your buddhi, and definitely viveka will come out of that. If you crush the buddhi, viveka will squeeze your buddhi, viveka will come. What viveka? My God, nothing in the universe is permanent. How can impermanent thing give me permanent happiness? Isn't it? Let me not rely on anything impermanent in the world for happiness. Let me be with people. Let me have concern for people. Let me accept situations and things. But let me not dependent on anything for my happiness. Then you are an intelligent person. Then you have, your life is, what now? Really your life has become a meaningful life. Mundaka Upanishad says, the one is a brahmana. You are a learned person. You are a brahmana, an intelligent person. Only when you learn from your own life's experiences, what is the learning? You see, no other school or college or university, wherever you go and study, if you do not learn this one fact, okay, doesn't matter how much you are, how highly qualified you are, how much you are educated. This is a big lesson one should learn from one's own life's experiences. If you have not learned, all education is waste. If you can learn with any education also, still your life is meaningful life. What is one thing? Everything in this universe is impermanent. So nothing in the universe being impermanent can give me permanent happiness. I should rely on permanent happiness for permanent thing, and there is nothing other than Paramatma which is permanent. Okay? Therefore, Koshanandaha, we'll see, come back and see. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.